testing.
RLV N4ZLK Mobile, how are you today?
Okay, Mobile. Good afternoon, Shane. I haven't talked with you in a while. A lot of hash on my receive, so it's probably my mobile antenna that I'm using as a base here in Belton. Over.
Probably, because when you're talking, I hear a lot of white noise, so may not have the greatest signal, but you're very copyable. I understand, and I'm in a truck, so I understand everything you're saying.
Yeah, I'm getting continual white noise on receive, and it's not due to your signal. I think it's just my connection to the repeater. But anyway, hope you're doing well, and we're doing fine down here in Belton. AF4LV, over.
And I have both of you a little bit on the receive from Anderson, KG4LSL.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And Mark, yeah, I'm doing really well. It's really, really good to hear you. I heard you check into the net sometime last week or a week ago, but I miss talking to you. I hope you guys are doing well down there. Do you like it in Belton area?
It takes me back to my farm boy roots, although they were in Michigan. A little cooler up there, generally speaking. It's been really hot, quite an adjustment, but we love farm life, if you can call it that. We have a very small place, only 3.5 acres, but we're doing some berries and fruit trees and trying to keep the grounds up and flowers and garden, you know, vegetable gardening and that sort of thing. We love it down here. We've got a good church and just great people in Belton. AF4LV, over.
Mark, and if you talk to your brother, tell him hello for me. I think he and I are practically neighbors. I just never run into him. He lives, if I remember correctly, he's probably 3-4 miles away from me.
That's probably the case. He lives on Wandering Way off New Hope Road. In fact, he his house overlooks Table Rock, so he's just south of just below Highway 11. And you know who else is up there? Very close to him. Maybe
you might have gone. You dropped out after you said he lives up there off Highway 11. And I got a phone call. Let me grab this. Good to hear you. N4ZLK.
WTQ.
CBA Mobile.
Mobile.
My name is David. How you doing today?
All right. Greenville.
Yeah, Greenville, but I didn't get the last part.
Greenville and Glen.
Negative.
I'm rather new at this, and I'm up from Florida, and I'm going to be there tonight.
Well, I've been a past member, kind of on and off, down through the years. I've had my ticket since 82, so you know, a good group of guys, and I've been a member at Greer, but I've just, you know, since COVID, I just haven't really started back. Greer's really closer for me because I live in Taylor's, and however, the Greenville, I'm not sure where they meet anymore. If they're still meeting at the Red Cross building, I'm not sure. I'd have to find that out. But anyway, both of those are just a great bunch of guys, and you got a wealth of knowledge sitting in the room there. So if you, you know, if you have questions about something, there's definitely somebody, probably more than one, that can answer your question thoroughly.
K4BNWA, comment.
Anybody on this stinking, on this frequency, I tell you. Oh, hey, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, is that West Palm Beach on the radio again? K4BNWA.
Yes, it is.
Well, listen, that's the Greer Club that meets tonight at the Woodmen of the World, and the Greenville Club meets next Monday night at the Red Cross building. Both of them meet about the same time, 7:30.
I'm glad you straightened me out, because I got confused. I thought it was all the same. I'm going to the one on, what's that, Woodruff Road or something, with the WOW building.
Yeah, that's the Woodmen of the World building, and that's in Greer, and that's the Greer Club that meets tonight. And like I said, that's the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society that meets next Monday night at the Red Cross building. And like Dave said, he's steering you right. They're both good bunch of folks. And I'm not going to be able to make it over there tonight. I've had something come up. I told you I'd like to meet you face-to-face, but it's not going to happen tonight. I'm still out on the road working.
After that, I looked at your antenna advice, and I'm gonna buy that one. I'm still looking for some kind of mount for it. I seen the mount, but I didn't see where they sold the mount exactly.
On just about any PL239 base, and you just get yourself. What I did was, I don't know what kind of vehicle you got, but I had I've got a pickup truck, and I went by one of the truck stops, and they sell this mount for antennas, and I just took half of it and screwed that into the bed. It's an L bracket, and I drilled it out, put it on there, put the base on there, and then screwed the ATOS right straight down on it, and it worked great.
I did the same thing when I had a pickup, and it does work good, KV4CBA.
Look into that.
Now, have you got a pickup truck?
Subaru SUV Outback.
Radio on one of those.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. You can't put a radio on a Subaru. Now, listen, if you can't have a little fun along the way, what's the point in going? I'm just joshing you.
I'm looking at my Subaru, thinking about that.
What do they call that mount? It's a lift mount that will go universal direction. I mean, it'll rotate to any direction you can think of or any angle. What do they call that? A D40 or D50? A DXD50 mount, something like that?
I don't know the number. I've got it on my car because mine would lean, you know, not real bad, but I wanted to get it as vertical as possible. It's made by Diamond. You can easily find it on the Diamond, either the Diamond website or on HRO sells them. Sells Diamond and some other places too, for that matter. So anyway, heck, you might can find it on Amazon. I don't know, but it's made by Diamond, and it's a very nice mount. It has three places to clamp. Use an Allen wrench and clamp onto the inside of the trunk lip, and it even gives you a piece of metal to clamp on to, so you don't actually put marks on the inside of your trunk, and that way when you take it off, there's no sign that it was ever there.
K4VWA, and I'll tell you something else too. The one I've got, you can rotate it at any angle, and what I did is I've got a Ford Transit Connect van, one of those little vans, and I put it at the top of the vehicle on the cargo hatch in the back, and I was able to rotate that mount to where the antenna is just perfectly straight.
At this, I had another idea. Let me shoot this by you, okay? I was thinking about putting a trailer hitch on the vehicle too. I wanted to put a trailer hitch on it, and I was thinking, you know, kind of when I'm not using a trailer hitch to mount it on that.
And quite a bit.
KK, come in.
Jump in. The water's fine.
You guys are a little scary. That hitch mount will work very well. They actually make a jaw clamp
that will go around the ball, and that way you can, it's just got like a wingnut type screw down on it, and holds very well, and so that's a good option.
KG4LSL comment.
They're all coming out of the woodwork here, Miami. Or, I mean, West Palm. You might get some pretty good ideas. Jump in there, comment.
KG4LSL, name here is Jimmy, Juliet, India, Mike Yankee. I was actually just sitting here monitoring, setting up an airbrush station, and that mount that you were talking about is a Diamond K400, Kilo 400. It's the hatchback trunk mobile mount.
That's it. And you can put the PL239 base in it, or you can buy it with that base already in it, can't you?
Here on HRO, and yes, you can get the coax assemblies and everything else already made for it. Yeah, it's a good little mount. Seen them used many a time.
It's solid as a rock too. As far as a lip mount, oh man, it's good. So, well, listen. West Palm Beach, I hope to catch you again some other time. This is KN4BWA. 73s, I have arrived at my hacienda, and I am going to bag it. So, KN4BWA, I'm clear.
Thank you for the info. This is KO4WTQ.
I'll be over here setting up the rest of this airbrush stuff.
For CBA, I'm on the way to the sports club, play some tennis.
N4DJC.
Good afternoon, Jerry. And what are you up to this afternoon?
Came back from going out for a little bit to pick up some groceries, a few odds and ends. And Jimmy, if you're listening, hello to you. Hope you're doing well. Hadn't heard you in a few days. Just trying to stay out of the heat. They finally got the house next door ready to sell, so they finally took the porter john. Obviously, I guess the way, so I guess that's a good sign.
What we call progress. yeah, I was talking to a guy last night on 17 meters sideband, and he helped me tune up my microphone. And on my 7300, and I had made some changes to it, and I went back in there and looked, and somehow or another the compression had gotten turned off, and he told me what to set it on, and he said that brought it up, and he made several changes. He had me make several changes. Of course, I could put it back, or I could just say, no, I'm not going to do that. But I thought, what the heck? I mean, this guy, he said he's done a bunch of them. And I tell you, he said I sounded much better, you know, on the handheld, and sound like a desk mic.
Sometimes those things seem to get messed up. I'm not sure how that happens. I can team that up pretty good because I just switched mine over to the audio. I can see the audio output on it on the scope. I can get mine pretty well, but I don't talk very loud anyway, so it's not mine to compare to other people's voices and so forth. But I usually keep mine set about 35% mic gain and about 50% compression is all. And that seems to work okay. I know a lot of people run a lot more compression on sideband, which is probably a different setup entirely, but these icons, they have so many settings, you just have to dig into them. It's like Kevin was talking about a week or so ago, about how long did it take you to learn the radio? I said, about a year. Then Keith up in Seneca, KM4CHY, said, you never learn them. I said, that's about the truth. N4DJC Friday.
CPA. Yeah, I mean, you know, it does have a lot of bells and whistles, and you know, you can go into the menu and just, you know, just keep pressing the screen and just keep going. It'll take you, it just keeps taking you places. So, you can even adjust the treble and the bass. I've never seen that before. He had me do that last night, Of course, he said, I have kind of a bassy voice anyway, so he said, I don't think we adjusted the bass, but anyway, he said I sounded much better than I did when I started talking to him, so I'm going to take his word for it. He was in New Mexico, and I forget his call, but he had a nice hex beam. I saw a picture of it on QRZ on his website. I mean, on his QRZ page, and boy, he has a ton of pictures of his radio and just all kinds of stuff. And he got a nice Kenwood. I never saw the model number, but boy, that thing, you don't need a menu button because it's got it's got buttons and knobs all over the front of it. So, you don't have to worry about having to dive into a menu because everything's right there at the touch of a with your finger or touch of a button.
Five's got time settings for traveling bass on. I'm going to analog in on the digital for the D-Star stuff. And I'm going to transmit and receive, so you can kind of hear yourself and kind of tune in around a little bit as well. But you just keep digging in these menus. It's just, especially if you get into start working on some new, say a new mode or something like that, and you find out that there are even more menus, and you start doing passband tuning and all other sorts of things. It just, I don't know if anybody ever masters these things. It just, you just have to work on one thing at a time. But the audio settings on these radios are, once you get them set up, they sound pretty good.
Thing, on my 7300, I have the mic gain up to like 75%, and he had me bring it down to 50%. I really didn't want to do that, but I did just for the heck of it. And once we made the other changes, he said it sounded better, much better. So I'm taking his word for it, and I won't, let's see. Yeah, I won't be able to check into the sideband net because when I finish this clinic, it'll be 7 o'clock, and, I just won't be able to get home in time to check in. So I'll have to find somebody on sideband after that to check me out and see what I sound like, and I'm sure that won't be a problem. There's plenty of people on.
Leave mine on about 35%. Sometimes I may turn it up to 40. If I'm going to do an FM satellite thing, I may turn it up to 40%. And if I'm going to be on D-Star any length of time, I may turn it down to 25. But I can't. The thing about D-Star is you can echo back to a reflector. It will echo your voice back, and you can see what the differences are in sound and what it sounds like. But D-Star's got it. It's just only half the bandwidth of real FM. It sounds kind of down a look anyway. I mean, R2D2, I should say. It's not a full width. You don't get a full audio signal. It sounds a little. You have to watch your pitch on that more so than analog, because you just don't have that. You don't have that much bandwidth to work with.
Sure, you're talking over my head there, it just went. When you start talking about bandwidth and all that, you lost me. But I just know when you key the mic and if they can hear you, it's working. Oh, me. I tell you. I'm kind of joking with you. I mean, I know just enough to be dangerous. That's about it.
Dave, you're about like me. I was out of it for years, and just got back into it a few years ago. I always had a handheld, something that I didn't get back into it very deeply until about four years ago, I guess, maybe. And I learned all this, the U-turns, the digital and all this stuff. It just took a little while for me to get back into it, but you know, you can dig into one thing and you peel the layer of onion away and you got a thousand layers up under it. You just find one thing right after another and go down one rabbit hole and it goes off. You go down another rabbit hole in another direction sometimes. But you know, it works good. That Kenwood you were talking about, I think the one I saw one, I can't remember who had one now. There was a guy that lived in, gosh, I don't remember where. I think it was a guy that lived in Duluth. It was a friend of my brother-in-law's. He had a Kenwood 990. That's about a 5,000-mile radio, I think. That thing had more buttons and dials. It reminded me of something from back in the 80s, you know.
Didn't look very old in it at all, and in fact it looked pretty new. And I, like I said, the picture he had on QRZ didn't show the model; it just said Kenwood. And usually after that they put the, you know, the number of the model of it. But evidently it's on the other side of the radio, and he didn't have a full shot of the entire rig there. He had most of it, but anyway. But boy, I tell you, it sure sounded good. And I bet he paid around $5,000-$7,000 for it, at least, and maybe more than that. Who knows? But you know, I could do something like that, but I just I'm so happy with my 7300. I just as soon stick with it.
They don't change their radios very often. They'll keep refining stuff. And that 990, I think it was TS-990 is what it's called. And that one, I think that's the top of the line for Kenwood. I think they've got the 590, and then they got the 890, and then they got a 990 TS. That 990, I think that thing's 200 watts out, too, as well, just from a base radio. But instead of having, I mean, it's got all the menu systems and so forth. It's all got it pretty close to hand. And it looks like an older radio, but it's not. It's, you know, it's real high technology. And Kenwood's always had real good audio too, I think, both on receive and transmit. But that's another echelon or two above anything I'd be interested in at this point in life.
And I noticed he did have a spectrum scope on the screen, at the bottom of the screen, like the 7300 does, so you can see the, you know, the different signals on the band whenever you pull up a particular band. So you just don't have to go tune in for them. So I thought that was a neat feature. So it can't be very old, because that technology hadn't been out too terribly long, I don't think. I might be wrong about that, but anyway, I haven't seen it in, you know, since maybe the last 5 years. And but anywho, well, I'm sitting here at the sports club. I'm gonna run inside and check in and get ready, get warmed up for the clinic. So you have a good evening, and I'll clear out of here after your final. Try to stay out of trouble there, Jerry, and I'll talk to you later. KP4, CBA, clear up to yours.
Hey, David, staying out of trouble is a full-time job for me. Have a good one. Enjoy yourself. KP4, CBA, M4DJC, clear.
No fun. Good afternoon, Jerry. KG4, LSL.
How you doing? I heard you were working on an airbrush. You get everything set up?
I got it set up now, and I'm doing a pressure test on my compressor here, making sure that all the fittings are tight and I'm not losing air anywhere and all that. Just been kind of busy. Went for a week up into the mountains in North Carolina. Didn't take any radios with me. Get no cell phone service, so kind of enjoying the woods a little bit. How you been?
We've been semi-busy. We've got some work done on the house. Actually, on the 4th of July, I had a guy show up to do some painting and some stuff like that to the house. And we got that done. And then the grandkids been here a day or so, and so we've been busy off and on, but trying to stay out of the sun a little bit. But, hey, we just We got a little bit of rain last week. We ain't had any rain to amount to anything in about 3 weeks.
It's been just bad dry around here. It kind of reminds me of the drought of 2012 that we had in Atlanta. It was awful. I mowed my grass for the first time in a month. Just late last week. It was, it's bad. I'm hoping that it starts getting some more rain coming in soon.
To get mine cut. I'm going to get mine cut Wednesday morning. I think he's coming by, but he's cut over some, we put out some fresh centipede side, about 8 rolls of it. It's a little tall now, so I'm going to let him cut that. But the rest of the yard just, we're not watering anything. The rest of the yard looks pretty rough.
Mine's starting to come around. I parked the camper in the front yard a couple of times, and where I parked the camper at, it started killing off all the weeds, so the Bermuda had a chance to start coming back in it, and I don't know, maybe I'll start using that for weed control.
KI4LZI Mobile. You was talking about you hadn't had much rain down there, Jerry and Anderson. You ought to be up here under Table Rock. We got grass growing out the wazoo and having a hard time getting clothes even dry between the humidity and the rain we've had.
We need some distraction. It looks like it splits off when it hits me. It heads down towards Jimmy's place, but it must be missing him too. We're about 4 miles from each other, and we kind of split between the lake there. But Jimmy, I remember that 2012. Brother-in-law had bought a lake house on Harlow, a small one, and the house was up in a cove, and they didn't have any water at all. I mean, it was terrible. I think the lake was down about 7 or 8 feet or something like that. But it got to the point where they had to move the dock way out to be able to dock the boat. I remember that very well, but it was just, we were getting some rain, but not enough by a long shot. M4DJC.
It's a matter of your location when it comes to these storms. Y'all go ahead, I'll just point out to you, in some parts of the upstate has had more rain than they can think about, but others had. KI4LZI Mobile, y'all carry on.
Talk to you, sir, yeah. It's funny. I've watched some of the rain bands when I was up in the mountains. When I had cell service or Wi-Fi signal, I'd watch some of the radar just to kind of see what's going on down here. And I was literally watching these clouds, these rain bands. They would get almost to where we're at, Jerry, and then it just dissipate. And it was the darndest thing I'd ever seen. I said, well, good Lord, my tomatoes are going to be dried by the time I get home.
What it is, but you know, when they built 85, I've told the story 100 times. When they built 85, they built it so it would follow, anything above 85 would, where they had bad weather, like freezing weather, that sort of thing would be above 85. They kind of designed it along those that geographic line. But we're right here at the split now. My daughter and husband, they were out on the boat yesterday in Harlow at Portman, and they didn't get any rain at all. But now they live in Malden, and it's been pouring in Malden, which is, just 25 miles. It's just splitting off, it's dissipating or splitting off something. I can see the clouds. It's like the clouds are taunting me, going around in a circle. but it's terrible here. I mean, you can go over here maybe a mile, maybe down to where Sam's is. Walmart, it'll pour down rain there. It won't rain a drop here.
It's odd. The whole weather pattern that's been going on this year has just been really strange. And, I've got a meteorologist friend of mine out of Atlanta that we talk about this all the time. And, they've been having a real tough time with forecasting because this the weather patterns right now are some that they haven't even seen. So, they're having a hard time with it, and it's just crazy times. Crazy what? the Lord is the one that decides what the weather's going to do, and it's going to do what he says it's going to do when it's going to do it, right?
Hey, Jimmy, my daddy always said we ain't paying a preacher enough. Go ahead, Chandler.
Talk about the weather patterns changing and everything. You know, I don't know about you, but lately, especially the past few days, especially last week, I have noticed an increased amount of lightning in our thunderstorms. And what you said about God making the weather, you're absolutely right.
I wanted to ask you a question real quick.
Okay, and yeah, the Lord made this beautiful place that we live in, and he controls what's going on. Go ahead, Jerry.
So what are you airbrushing, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
Just, I'm playing around with some different stencils that I had ordered, and you know, some little camping signs and that sort of stuff. And I've got a new airbrush, so I'm kind of just playing around with it to get the feel of it before I start painting the fishing baits.
What you use, I used a Badger years and years ago, and I don't remember the other brand. The other brand was a little better, I think, but I never saw one. But I remember having to buy that compressor. Man, those compressors, yeah, those compressors were expensive back in those days even.
I've got two airbrushes. I've got a Grex, Golf Romeo Echo X-Ray, and that's the brand of compressor that I'm running. Right now I'm running an Iwata Eclipse, and it is probably one of the best airbrushes that you can get. It's a nice pencil airbrush, and the control on it is just phenomenal. And you can get down to a line about the size of the tip of a number two pencil that is sharpened just as sharp as you can get it. And you can fan out probably to a quarter of an inch.
Just paint baits then.
And I got all my paints out, and I'm about to put them in a in my shaker. I made a paint shaker out of a media cleaner for ammunition. I just made a little tray that sits down in it, and you set the bottles down in it and turn it on, and it vibrates the paints to where they mix up real well. So I'm about to start shaking them up and running it through its paces.
I got a couple. I think I still got one or two friends that have handmade Japanese baits, and they were really, I mean, those things are really, they've gotten out of sight. Now, I bought these years ago before they became so popular, and one of the guys that was important back then was, you know, he was using them for, they were rainbow trout. He was using, they were using right there to catch those big bass in one of the lakes out in California, I believe. But that's a big business now, I guess.
Big business. I have a couple of friends of mine down in Atlanta. They've got a bait company, and they ship them all over the place. And they've got a couple of professionals that use their baits, and they both have full-time jobs, and as soon as they get done with their full-time jobs, they're in there spraying for another 5 or 6 hours just trying to keep orders filled up, you know, but they do a phenomenal job with them. I'm really excited for these guys because, you know, they started basically the way I'm starting is just at a desk in your spare room. And they're starting up building a shop and everything else.
They're not popular down here, but you know, up in the Midwest, those fish decoys are pretty popular up there. I don't think they use them for, you know, gigging fish or anything anymore. But they're popular as decorative things. They're using wood for the base, or they did.
I do have some old wooden baits that I have found in a garage sale. I think somebody gave me a couple of tackle boxes, and they had a couple of pencil baits, old Rapalas, that are wooden, and the paint's just real bad on them. It's chipped up. I mean, you know, these baits are probably 40, 50 years old. So I'm going to take some pictures of them and try and see if I can just restore them and just use them to play around with. But yeah, the wooden baits will always be the better baits.
He started bass fishing back in the late 40s and early 50s, and he always used creek chub, you know, pikies and that sort of thing, and he had a bunch of wooden baits in his tackle box, and of course they all deteriorated, and that was long with those things deteriorated. Well, the baits don't deteriorate, just the paint chips and the hardware, you know, rusts off of them. But, you know, those were made, I think those might have been made out of either basswood or cedar, I don't remember now, but those baits, you know, you could tear them up, but, you know, people didn't restore them then, they just, you know, edge fish them until the paint was gone, that was it.
Bass and balsa and cedar, those were the three main woods, I believe, that they used, and to be honest, they were just phenomenal, and they were always going to be the superior baits because those were made by hand. And, you know, if they weren't right, they didn't get put out into production. So, you know, and that's unfortunately with plastic and everything else coming around that you just kind of lose that craftsmanship. And, you know, I've got a woodworking shop out here, so there may be a day that I just decide to start cutting some out and hand making the old wooden baits again.
Comment.
For LSL.
KG4LSL, KO4WWZ. I won't be too long. I just want to know, considering the woodworking fishing baits, would you happen to know a man by the name of Richard Ridgeway?
Doesn't ring any bells with me.
Alright, well, he is my grandfather. Excuse me, for a hobby, he builds his own fishing clubs out of wood. He cuts them out, he sands them, and he paints them. Now, I would have to talk to him about it, but I might see if maybe you'd like to have some. I could possibly arrange that.
I'd love to. I'd love to paint some of them. My information is correct on QRZ, and it's got my email address there. If you'd like to fire me off an email or anything like that, you can reach me there.
Wait, I see. Comment.
Go for LSL.
Try to airbrush RC body.
Thing that I haven't done yet, I've got a couple here that I can practice on, and I know you have to paint them from the inside. I've got a couple of 8th scale nitro powered radio control cars here, but it's certainly something that I'd be more than happy to try.
I'm wondering because I got airbrushes and everything too. I was just wondering if you ever tried that. That's pretty neat.
It's a lot of fun to play with them. And, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't pulled mine out in ages. And I'm still kind of new into airbrushing, so I'm still kind of getting my feet wet with the different techniques and different paints and different brushes and all of that. So, you know, it's kind of something I'm still learning.
Cretex, what is it? Cretex paint there? I use it. I use the candy colors and everything, but that's the best paint I use anyway.
The Createx Wiggins. I've got some opaques. I've got pearlized. You know, yeah, that's what I have. And I also have the clear diamond clear coat is also what I use. I've tried the Model Air from Vallejo, and it's nice, but it is pricey.
Vallejo to work right. I just go back to the Createx there, and, 'cause it's just, I don't know, I guess to each his own, but I like the Createx there.
I do too, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. KG4LSL.
I got the Iwata. I want to try me a hardened steam bag with airbrush one day whenever I hit the lottery.
They're proud of them. I've got the Iwata Eclipse, and I'm pretty impressed with it so far.
Remember that the micro Iwata there? I got one of them, and I got the Eclipse also.
Yeah, the Grex was the first one that I owned, and it's a pistol grip, so I kind of use it for my bigger open areas where I just need to lay down a big area of paint and use the Iwata for the more detailed stuff. Now
I got that. The micro, I got a 0.2 millimeter needle in it. That's a small needle there. That, man, you could just about put a piece of hair down and you could trace it with the paint there and you would never see it.
It's in this one here.
That forestry, air compressor, that super quiet air compressor. So 1 gallon, man, that thing works wonders too.
It's the Grex 8th horsepower compressor that I've got. It doesn't have a tank, but it does have a water separator and a regulator on it. And, it works pretty good too. And you know, it's nice and quiet.
With the RC cars and everything, and I got me a regular cheap body shop spray gun there, and I spray that liquid mass. I like to spray it better than I do painting it, because it'll go on better and you don't waste as much liquid mass.
Do they like this these paints here? That's always a good thing.
I have painted mailboxes. I have airbrushed mailboxes and everything. It's been a while since I messed with it, but the last one I did, somebody wanted it. And they wanted it more than I did, so I let them have it.
E-E-E, monitoring.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm actually about to jump out and monitor a few minutes because I'm about to start laying down some paint and probably be out listening for about 10 minutes. Okay, go ahead and pick it up. KO4EE, KG4LSL.
Jimmy, I'll catch you a little bit later. I'm going to be out for a little bit myself, N4DJC. Good talking to you. I'll catch you a little bit later on. Clear.
Okay, Jerry, I'll be around. KG4LSL.
Monitoring then for some traffic somewhere. Is it auto body paint you're using, or household paint, or Push paint.
It's airbrush paint.
Picture, or we doing a couple layers, or kind of wondering what we're doing?
Kind of freehanding and just playing around with it, I've got a new brush, so I'm just kind of getting the feel of it and all that before I start painting some fishing baits.
Get memory down, man. Jeff, how you been doing?
Dad, it'd be great if all this inflation would slow up and we deflate a little bit so I could breathe a little when I get paid. And stress level could definitely drop some, but I guess you'll have that in my situation.
Wow, man. Just thought I'd speak a good afternoon to you and let y'all go ahead and go at it. Well, he sees some pain, he says. This is KJ4HYC. Standing by.
KJ4HYC, right? Yeah, when gas prices went up a good bit, my mom let me borrow one of her cars, a little CRX, and I didn't put a radio in it because I think she would have killed me. But I've since passed that vehicle back, and I'm back in my truck for a little bit and started dabbling again, a little bit of radio frequencies.
I must thank you. I guess you moved to Easley. I think that's what you said. You moved from Neary to Easley.
WWC back in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I moved out to Easley. It would be nice to work my way back over to at least the Seneca Clemson area, but a lot of my dust is still in the air and has yet to settle, so we'll figure out what's going on here probably in the next few months and see where I stand with Audrey Dane.
Goodbye. Go ahead there, Chandler. KJ4HYC, standing by.
Which one is the one I just told about my grandfather's fishing club? I need to write the call sign down.
Thank you, talking to Jimmy there.
What was his call sign?
KG4, I can't remember it. Sorry about that.
Keep the conversation going. I'll stick around.
I'll be on standby, but monitoring.
For WWC, try and keep a conversation going. I know why you're standing by it. Keep talking to me if you can. For HKXKO for WWC. For HKXKO for WWC.
Chandler, did you get you enough to eat Saturday over there to? That's your lunch in there.
Sure, can you repeat your last name? I had a lot of noise driving by.
Get enough to eat there at your lunch on Saturday?
Yes, I did. I sure did. How did y'all know I went for that?
KY4AO, Steve in there. I talk to him all the time there.
I love that tornado. Whatever they made, I don't know what that's called. I call it a salad. So I really enjoyed that.
He told me and everything. He said he had a good time. And I heard you, and I just thought I'd see if you got you enough to eat over there.
Oh, Roger, that I sure did. I sure did.
What's your call sign again, sir?
It's KJ4HYC. Shane.
All right, Shane. Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you today. I don't know why Jimmy left. I was hoping I could catch him before I had got back home.
3 miles.
I was going to see, because I'm heading to my grandpa's right now. We just got done at the job site, and his house is only like 10 minutes away, so I'm going to go take my grandpa's surprise visit real quick, and then I'm going to head back home.
That's surprising good there. Pop up there and see him for a few minutes. Ain't nothing wrong with that there. All right, Jenner, I'll let you go there. KJ4HYC, clear.
All right, 73, Shane. It's a pleasure talking to you. God bless you, and I hope to catch you later on down the road. KJ4WWZ, listening for any station. I said again, any station that would like to have a few, sir. WZ listening for any valid station that would like to have a key, sir.
AF4LV from N4ZLK. N4ZLK. Good afternoon, Chandler.
Good afternoon, Shane. Hey, I have a question, if you can answer it.
I can do. And hello to the other Shane out there, KJ4HYC, if you're still listening, and the KO4EEE station. But go ahead, Chandler.
Yeah, trying to see if you knew Jimmy's call sign. I think it's Kilo Golf Wood, but I didn't get the rest.
Keep that, please.
I was trying to see if you need to let Jimmy's call sign was. I know it starts as a Kilo Golf 4, but I'm not sure about the suffix.
Comment. Kilo Golf 4, Lima, Sierra, Lima. KG4LSL.
Jimmy. Okay. Good, you're here. I'm glad. Hey, look, I'm about to be at my grandfather's house, so I was trying to get your call sign in my head before I get there, and I'm going to keep talking, so I'm bad at remembering, and I'm currently on the road mobile, so I can't just stop and write it down. But once I get in his driveway, I'll take down your call sign, and I'll look you up on Kilo's head, and I'll talk to him about it. Other than that, how you guys been doing today?
Yeah, that'll be fine. Let me slide back here, back off to the side. I'm trying to get some paint down. KG4LSL.
All right, Henry answers my question. Let's just start with normal Q. So how you been doing today, Shane?
Well, I was going to answer that because I heard it earlier, and I'm happy to say that I was going to give you the same call letters, even though it was better that he gave it to you. So, I'm doing well today, Chandler. How about you?
Okay. I'm currently heading to my grandpa's house, and my job site today was about 10 minutes away from him, so I'm going to pay him a surprise visit. I love my grandpa. I'm missing a lot. I thought I'm going to take the time to visit him while he's still here.
It's a very good thing. Both of my, all my grandparents are all gone, so, and I didn't really grow up around them. I didn't meet my maternal grandmother, or grandfather, or grandmother until I was in my 30s. I didn't meet them face to face, but I enjoyed the little time I had with them. But I heard you over on Black's Road and Rubber Mountain and Black's Road. That's a busy intersection.
That sure is. But the good thing is we weren't flagging today, and as far as I know, we won't be flagging tomorrow. We'll just be putting up cones and setting up a barrier for the pipeline company to do shoulder work. And all we really have to do is stick around and keep an eye out. They need to take one of their machines in the road for a minute. We stop traffic and let them get through. Make sure that they stay safe.